This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
JP Morgan sued. Is this the first of many? From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich, and this is the Marketplace Midday Update. It is Tuesday, the 2nd of October. Also coming up on the podcast, Spain on the brink of a bailout, maybe, and a chat with the CEO of Goldman Sachs.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
The New York Attorney General has sued JPMorgan Chase. The issue is mortgage-backed securities peddled by its Bear Stearns unit leading up to the financial crisis. The case could be a bit of a game changer, and Marketplace's Eve Tro is here with more on it. Hello, Eve.
Hi there.
Bad mortgage securities. Now, there were lots of those going around in those days. What did J.P. Morgan allegedly do wrong here?
Well, what J.P. Morgan did wrong, you could say, is take over Bear Stearns, which didn't have much choice in doing that. The government brokered that deal when Bear Stearns failed, and that's why J.P. Morgan is the defendant here. The lawsuit says that Bear Stearns ignored warnings, they made mortgage-backed investments look a lot safer than they actually were, and they tracked down records to prove that that cost investors about $22 billion.
This is supposedly the first case from a new Obama administration effort to open up new prosecutions related to the financial crisis. What's the background on that?
Well, the federal effort really stemmed from a New York effort. New York has been chomping at the bit to zing the financial industry, basically the bad guy right in their backyard. And I talked to economist Peter Morici. He says this is really about the feds backing up the state effort.
It takes a long time to get the information you need because you have to go digging through the records of large companies with millions of emails and millions of files to find the smoking gun.
And some of these emails leaked, if you look for them online, are definitely smoking guns. Morici expects a lot more lawsuits like this, and he expects that all the banks will settle rather than fight it out in court.
And Eve, it's early yet, but some folks are saying this case in particular might be kind of a turning point in truly taking the banks to task for their role in the financial crisis. What's maybe different here?
Well, first, it's more money. J.P. Morgan's 20-some billion in damages, if they pay, will be a lot more than the other cases we've seen. And it's also the type of charges. This is civil fraud they're going after here. That's easier to prove in court than criminal charges. And it means if J.P. Morgan does have to pay for this, that would mean them paying instead of, say, a CEO doing jail time.
Eve Tro, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Well, it's been an up and down day in the early hours of trading on Wall Street. And at the moment, the Dow Industrial Average is down about 0.4%. The NASDAQ, though, is flat. The S&P 500 is down 0.1%. The National Retail Federation this morning predicts we will buy 4% more stuff this holiday season. That will be slower growth than in the past 2 years. CoreLogic says U.S. home prices rose almost 5% in August. That's the biggest annual gain in 6 years. And Greece started a round of talks with its European lenders today. The government put out its new austerity budget yesterday. Greece is stuck between creditors who are skeptical the reforms will be enough and Greek protesters who say the cuts will destroy the Greek economy. Now, perhaps more than any other, Goldman Sachs is the U.S. investment bank people love to both idolize and demonize. Goldman's balance sheet has tracked the highs of the asset bubble and the pit of the financial crisis when Goldman took a federal bailout. Lloyd Blankfein is the chairman and CEO, and he agreed to talk to Marketplace as Goldman hosts a small business training event this week in California. He talked with my Morning Report colleague, Jeremy Hobson, and here's Jeremy.
Well, so a lot of ordinary Americans listening to this are going to hear that the head of Goldman Sachs, which for some epitomizes what they don't like about Wall Street, is putting on a conference to help small businesses, and they're going to ask, what's this all about?
Well, we've had this program for a number of years now called 10,000 Small Businesses, where Goldman Sachs has convened a group of partners to basically give business education to small business owners. Now, these are people who are not going to start small businesses. In many cases, these are small businesses that have been operating for some time, sometimes for more than a generation. But we are giving them a business education, advice, in some cases access to financing in order to allow them to grow their businesses. And then, of course, we measure these results. This has been going on for almost 3 years now, and we've had some terrific results.
But is this just about improving your public image, or is this really about your bottom line?
Well, it's about neither. This is about investing in small business, and also, as a matter of ideology, Goldman Sachs is an advisor to businesses, and we're a great believer in the capital markets. And so what this allows us to do is to apply those principles that we get to apply as a firm to the greatest and biggest companies of the world. We get to do this on a much more human scale that involves our people on a much more human level to engage in small businesses and to affect great results.
Well, and you've said that Goldman Sachs serves a very important function in freeing up capital and making the economy stronger. And obviously, you're saying that you're helping small businesses in this case. But right now, I think a lot of Americans see banks like yours as really helping themselves rather than the economy as a whole.
We have an economic system in which capital is invested in businesses. Wealth is created. When businesses are successful, they go out and hire people. Those people who get hired generate income and wealth, and they go out and they buy more goods and services, which also give a spur to other businesses. That is our economic system. We play an important role in that in several ways. We advise companies what their plans should be. We help to raise capital because we're in communication with the companies we advise and also with the investors that supply the capital. And we also help to manage other people's money as they try to put their investments into businesses that will be more successful. That is a very, very important role in the economic system that both creates wealth in the country and helps to allocate that wealth.
Fair enough. But do you think it's working? I mean, there are a lot of middle-class families out there who think, Wall Street's not doing much for me right now.
Well, I think there's a cycle to things that obviously isn't working as well in the aftermath of a recession as it has worked at other times. But I think if you look at the United States and the success of the economic system in the United States over generations and frankly even to the present time, I think the U.S. capital market system is quite frankly the envy of the world. Many places around the world are trying to mimic the system and many would in a heartbeat change with us if they could.
Lloyd Blankfein, Chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Jeremy and Lloyd Blankfein also covered Wall Street reform and the fiscal cliff. You can listen to the whole thing. Leave your comments at marketplace.org. Well, whispers and nameless sources this morning are signaling Spain is getting ready to ask the European Central Bank and Spain's creditors elsewhere in Europe for a sovereign bailout. Bond and equity markets in Spain and elsewhere in Europe zigged and zagged throughout the day, depending on the winds. From our European desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins me now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Jeff.
So whispers and rumors, they can move the markets, but it's hard to lock some of this stuff down. What are you hearing?
Well, as you know, Spain's been the focus of international attention. We had those violent anti-austerity riots last week. We had the austerity budget. The background to all this is that the government in Madrid has been coming under huge pressure from EU officials and from investors to make a formal request for a full government bailout. That way, the European Central Bank would be able to unleash its new bond-buying blitz and bazooka, snapping up unlimited quantities of Spanish government bonds. That would drive down Spanish borrowing costs and tame the whole crisis. Well, there have been various reports today that the Spanish government is now finally ready to swallow its pride and go cap in hand and ask for a bailout.
So if Spain is ready, the European Central Bank, for its part, has signaled that it is ready. What's holding things back?
Well, this is where it gets very murky indeed. Reuters and other news agencies have been reporting that the Germans have privately told Spain not to ask for a bailout because the German government doesn't want to go back to its parliament now and ask for more money for Spain and then in a couple of weeks money for Greece and then Cyprus and so on. So it would like to wait a few weeks and lump all these bailouts together. That has been denied all round. We can't verify this one way or another, but it does show that one thing that's certain, bailout fatigue is developing fast in Germany.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Jeff.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern, channel surfing will be, for the most part, ineffective because the presidential debate will be all over TV. Except, that is, on the CW network. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
Instead of presidential talking heads battling it out, CW will show the season premiere of Supernatural and this epic battle.
Closing the gates of hell. Forever.
Where the young and sort of hot Winchester brothers battle monsters from hell, only one of them was actually trapped in purgatory, like, all summer. Okay, whatever. Media analyst Jack Myers says just because millennials won't sit in front of a TV watching politicians argue doesn't mean they're not paying attention.
The college-age audience is probably going to be more knowledgeable and see the highlights of the debate from Twitter, from YouTube, Facebook updates.
Paul Conway runs Generation Opportunity, a conservative group aiming to grab the youth vote via social media.
They'll watch it when they want or when their friends share it with them. If those who are 18 to 29 have an average of 300 to 600 people on their Facebook pages, you can imagine how big a potential echo chamber you have.
For remixed and mashed up debate clips on issues that matter most to millennials, like student loans, gay marriage, and jobs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Couple quick items as we wrap up here. In the Czech Republic, evidently, presidential security is not all it probably should be. The other day, President Václav Klaus was making his way through an outdoor festival, and this is all on video. A man in a camo jacket walks right up with a handgun, puts it up to the president's arm, and fires off 7 shots. Okay, so the gun fires plastic BBs, as it turns out, so no physical harm done. The president himself looks sort of confused and concerned, as you might in that situation. And the plastic assassin, let's call him, he just walks away. Now, he got arrested later, but only after he did an interview with the local news. The man said it was a protest against a president who is, quote, blind and deaf to the laments of the people, and whose staff is apparently blind and deaf to people walking up with handguns. Very strange. And finally, want to know what the Earth sounds like from space? Well, here you go. NASA has just released this recording. It's the sound created by the Earth's magnetic field. It's a phenomenon called CHORUS. And this was recorded by a satellite that happens to be listening from space to us. It's right in the sweet spot right now. And if you listen very, very, very closely, you can hear millions of people watching Gangnam Style on YouTube.
Open Gangnam Style!
Hey, I'm Jeff Horwich. This was the Marketplace Midday Update podcast from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.